And we have Darren Munn here in the studio from Munn Wealth Management. He got to try the sweet and tangy barbecue Doritos.
And?
Yum.
Yeah.
Now, we all have had some. Are we even going to be able to talk now?
Was that kind of get that lip chopper?
That
makes some kind of using our tongue. Yeah, I mean, getting the stuff, getting the residue out of the teeth, right?
You know, that's what I'm doing now myself.
Did you notice Darren's eyes when he was like, yum, his eyes like big, like baseballs? He was like,
yum.
Oh. What does that tell you? Doritos, you hit a home run.
Yes, now, those would be really good, like on a sandwich, too. You know how you make a sandwich and put chips on it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would. Yeah.
Never tried this.
Yeah. Oh,
maybe we should just talk food today. Just forget the whole money thing.
Let's food talk prices. Food.
Yeah. We're okay with that.
Regular, this bag would be $4.99 at regular price.
Oh, wow.
But then if you buy four, you get them for $1.99 each.
Yeah, I like it.
How do they do that?
Babe, if you're listening, go buy these, right? Where'd you get them at $1.99 each?
Kroger.
Okay, there you
go,
babe.
You got to buy four.
I think my wife's listening, so.
Doritos, what was it again, the flavor?
Sweet and tangy barbecue.
Sweet and tangy barbecue. There you go.
We got no remuneration from this. We had to buy them ourselves.
Yep.
So
yeah, we can do that. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of good stuff, CPI report came out last week. Are we seeing a little bit of a bull run? It looks like we're seeing a little bit of a heating up in the markets.
We are definitely seeing a nice reduction in the rate of inflation. So and it was, I would say, probably a positive surprise for a lot of people in that month over month we actually had no inflation. And so, that was a really good sign. If you look back 12 months, there's still inflation, but basically 11 months of that is old data, right? We already had the previous 11 months, so we're really only getting 1 month of new data each month. And so that was a good month, and it shows that from November to December, we didn't really have any inflation. And so that's good. I mean, there are pockets of inflation. When you look at the, food prices, there was a small increase in food prices, but 80% of that was from eggs. Just one thing, eggs, right? So if you've tried to buy eggs lately, the prices have shot up.
Yeah.
And that's partly because of the avian flu that's been killing a lot of the egg producing chickens. And so, I think the egg producing flock was down by 10% or so over the last several months. Wow. And so that's really impacting egg prices. You can't just, chickens, you can't just magically have a full-grown chicken that can produce eggs right away. You gotta start them small, right? And grow them up.
I think KFC's kind of marketed that, don't they? Inject them, make them grow up faster.
They do have growth hormones. Yeah. I don't know that that's exactly what we want in our eggs, but I mean, that's probably already what they do. But
have you seen the meme where the guy opens up the jewelry box? A little jewelry box has a picture of an egg. It says he went to Kroger.
Yes,
he went to Jared. He went to Kroger.
That's kind of what it seems like. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see where things look like they're kind of improving. How does that affect? Because so we know that we're seeing a little bit of a bump, a little bit of a rise in increase. Does that mean the prices are going to start coming down?
We should see, in some cases, you will see prices come down. Like if we look at lumber, lumber was a big thing, back in the spring, a little less than a year ago. I mean, lumber prices were super, super high, and they've come down 75%, almost 80% from their highs. Now, it takes a while before we see that really fully get passed through to the retail store. I don't know that we ever fully saw the price increase get passed on, because for a while, stores will absorb that price increase, but then of course they got to make that back up when prices are falling. So same thing with food prices. We've seen food prices go up. We've seen a lot of them come down. I think the what we're most likely to see in the short term is just kind of a stabilization, where we'll stop seeing things go up so much in price. In aggregate, we should see food prices stabilize and stop going up or stop going up very much. And so that's a good thing. And then we will start to see, I think, especially hopefully we can see this Russia-Ukraine thing get resolved at some point. That is probably the single greatest thing impacting food prices right now, because something like 30% of the world's wheat is grown in Russia and Ukraine. And I mean, and other crops too. You're seeing massive numbers of our food crops are grown in that region, and the war is really disrupting not only the production, but also the ability to ship that grain out to other parts of the world. Now, it's not impacting us as much because we produce a lot here too. But what is who it's really hurting is people in third world countries like Africa and not just the countries in Africa, but you know, you see, you know, a lot of the poor Asian countries and South America, even, you know, you're seeing, and so because those crops aren't readily available, it, you know, you're seeing a lot of starvation issues and, you know, just, you know, really sad things that we don't actually see in the mainstream media, right? I haven't seen it really reported that much. And so, you know, the higher food prices are really impacting those that can least afford it.
So gas prices kind of have stabled out.
Yes.
That looked anticipate to stay the same or go down, or how's that looking?
Yeah, you know, we have seen oil prices, you know, come down and stabilize. Again, that's also impacted by the whole Russia Ukraine thing. The good news is what we've seen is global demand has not increased as much as expected, and a lot of that was due to China. You know, China with the COVID shutdowns. Now that China's reopened, you know, we do expect to see global demand increase a little bit faster than what it was previously. But it gave us a little bit of a reprieve that gave the producers time to ramp up production, and so now, you know, I'm not so concerned about oil spiking back up, you know, above $100 like it was, which probably means we're pretty good in this, you know, $3 range. We might even see it, you know, get back below $3 here, you know, depending on, you know, a number of different factors. But so yeah, I expect to see gas really a little bit more stable. Probably, you know, hopefully we won't see those $4 numbers anytime in the near future, but I think there's a good chance we're going to stay down here in the $3 range.
Okay, well, I guess somewhat good news. At least things are calming down in general.
Yes, and natural gas prices have come down hugely. Like, so for those of us that have gas to heat our homes, you know, that is a really strong positive. I was concerned over the summer because natural gas had spiked because Europe was cut off from Russia, who provides most of their natural gas. And you know, so they were facing a huge crisis because they had no idea how people were going to heat their homes. And so they pulled off some amazing transitions over the last few months just to be able to, like for instance, they built a liquid natural gas shipping facility in under a year. I mean, normally those things take years to build, They were able to get it from design to completion in under a year. So, you know, now they could accept liquid natural gas, you know, here from the U.S. or other places. And so, you know, it really allowed Europe to avoid a massive crisis. Plus, they've had one of their warmest winters, which, you know, you could say that was divine intervention because, you know, it could have been much worse for Europe, but they had a really mild winter, at least it has been so far. And so that's really saved Europe when it comes to their energy issue.
We're talking with Darren Munn of Munn Wealth Management, and Darren likes to come in and share something from the Bible regarding finances.
Yeah, actually, before we jump into that, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so there was some a really big law that was passed, this big $1.something trillion funding bill. But there were some really and I'm not a huge fan of it. You know, it's politics, and there's a lot of junk in there. And the reality is I think there should be a law in place that they can't vote on these bills until they've actually read them.
Yeah.
But so I encourage you to talk to your representatives that there should be a bill that these, you know, multi-hundred page bills cannot be passed until people actually read them. But there were some really good things in there, especially when it comes to 529 plans. And so, you know, 529 is a type of education account that a lot of people use for, paying for college education. And over the years, they've expanded, you know, how they can be utilized, and it's become even more and more attractive. And this bill actually allows you to convert that 529 into a Roth IRA down the road. And so, so if we look back, you know, originally they were just for college. They've been expanded to now you can use them even for private school, you know, in elementary and high school. And now you can even, you know, whatever is left over, you can now convert into a Roth IRA down the road. And so it's really made these 529 plans a very, very powerful tool when it comes to not just education funding, but also retirement funding down the road. And so it's super cool. You know, if you have 529 plans set up for your kids, it's great. It also means in a lot of cases, people, you know, even grownups can set up 529 plans, and you know, there may be even some places where that makes sense. But it also means that those that already have them, where, you know, for instance, I've been hesitant to put too much money into 529s because if the kid didn't use it, right, then you're stuck paying taxes and a penalty to get the money out. Now, you know, with this update, you know, you're able to convert it into a Roth IRA, and so that's a real positive development for 529 plans.
Has that passed already then?
Yes, okay. That has passed. It's in stone. You know, there are a few things that, you know, when Congress writes something, a lot of times they then toss it to the IRS to kind of finalize some of the things. You know, so there are some question marks still in place as far as the logistics of some of the things like that. There are some voids in the language, but, you know, in general, I mean, the framework's in place. It's not supposed to take effect, I think, until the end of this year, as far as when you can actually start doing the conversions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it gives them some time to kind of, you know, put those final details in place. But in general, like, the accounts have to be open for at least 15 years. So this isn't something where you go set up a Roth IRA right now and you're converting it, you know, a couple years from now. These have to be accounts that have been open for at least 15 years. And so, you know, there's some criteria that must be followed. But it's a real positive, and it's really designed for that situation where, yeah, parents have saved, you know, grandparents have saved for the kids or grandkids' education, and they just didn't use all the funding, which is a good problem to have, right? But then that allows them to convert it as opposed to getting hit with taxes and penalty or something like that.
Are there any good resources people can go to find out more about the 529?
Each state kind of has their own 529 plan. It's a very state specific thing. So, you know, Ohio has a 529 plan, predominantly, and it's actually a very good 529 plan. So you can just Google, you know, Ohio 529 plan. I think it's called, you know, College Choice or something like that. And so it's a very good plan. There for people who make contributions, if in Ohio you get a state income tax deduction for some of those contributions you make. You know, same thing if you're in Michigan, you can get state income tax deductions if you use the Michigan plan. And so you can use any state's plan, but if you're in Ohio and you use another state's plan, you don't get the income tax deduction. You know, so you know it's important to look at what are the different features of the plan. You know, what are the benefits you get by making a contribution. You know, so for instance, you know, maybe the grandparents live in another state. Well, they might want to open a 529 plan in their state, you know, so they can, you know, if it offers an income tax deduction. And, but the nice thing is that those plans are very portable. So, you know, you can convert a balance from one state's plan into another state's plan, you know, or you can, you know, pay for college tuition in any state from any state's plan. And so, they're very fluid, very flexible, and, you know, but with this update, it really makes them a much more attractive tool for people all over the place.
All right, cool. Thank you, Darren. Well, what else you got to share with us this morning?
Yeah, so, you know, this morning I wanted to, you know, bring us back to Malachi 3. It's something we've talked about a few times in the past, but I thought it was a good start to the year. You know, to look back at what God promises for us in Malachi 3. And Malachi 3, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may food, you know, that there may be enough food in my house. And then, you know, this, the only time I believe that you hear this in the Bible, he says, test me in this, right? Test me in this. The only area that I'm aware of that God says, test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates so much that you will not have room enough for it. And so, you know, God promises a blessing to us when we're faithful in our giving. And that's just one example. You see all throughout Scripture, God's promises of blessing as we walk through Scripture. So I would encourage people, it's kind of a new start to the year. I know for a lot of us, it's been a tough few years, right? I mean, we had COVID, there's all kinds of things have happened. People have been impacted, lost jobs, things like that. And there, you know, there's probably more of that coming. There's always going to be problems. And we have a tendency to think, oh, I'll tithe later, or, you know, I'll give later. But God asks us, he shows it over and over again in his word. He's like, you know, test me, you know, prove that you're faithful. I'm going to give you some resources. All I'm asking is to tithe back to me. And then that's kind of his test. And if we're not passing the test, how can we expect greater blessing, right? You know, I mean, we see that with our children. Like we test them with different things. We give them some responsibility and some freedom. If they prove they can't handle it, we're not going to give them more, right? You know, you want to make sure that they're faithful with what you give them before you expand what, you know, that responsibility or that blessing. So I would encourage people, if you've been struggling, think about your tithing. Have you been faithful in tithing? If not, maybe make that a real purposeful thing this year to be faithful in that area.
Thank you. We've been talking with Darren Munn of Munn Wealth Management. Darren, thank you for all your insights and wisdom. And what's the website for Munn Wealth Management?
Our website is munwealth.com.
All right. All right, guys, let's get back to those Doritos. It is 8:39 on YesFM.